So next week, you get to choose between two different classes. So up here is going to be Galatians. The title is True Freedom in Christ. Downstairs in the fellowship hall is going to be Digging Deep, Exploring the Joys of Systematic Theology. Raise your hand if you're going to be here for Galatians. Raise your hand if you're going to theology downstairs. That's almost half. And raise your hand if you're not coming to Sunday school. All right. I am going to neither class because I'll be teaching the high school class. And I will be going through this beast right here. Look at this. That's like 3 inches almost, right? Covenant theology. Isn't this fun? Wait, hold on. Oh, that's good. Well, it's a bunch of different people, so it's edited by. You can check it out afterwards. But it comes from RTS. It's one of their courses. So I'm looking forward to going over this book and teaching because I think it's going to be easier than Psalms and Lament. You might be thinking, Bill just laughed at that here. There's no way this is easier, right, than Psalms and Lament. But let me tell you, I struggle going through Psalms. I struggle with Lament. I struggle with that weightiness. I feel often as I'm using my emotions to understand what the author is saying that, like, I don't get it, or it takes me a long time to figure it out. I think I handle Lament poorly. My temptation is to turn inward when I'm suffering or I have sorrow. And I think what we've been challenged these past couple months in Lamentations and Psalms is that don't go inward. You need to go upward. That's Lament. So maybe you're like me, it's been difficult. Hopefully the Lord has really grown you in turning to the Lord. So this morning we're going to wrap up Lament. We're going to go through like a quick overview. Then we're not going to go in Psalms, we're going to go in 2 Corinthians 1. Let me pray and then we're going to get started. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for our series on Lament. Lord, we pray this morning that you would give us wisdom to go through an overview of Lament and 2 Corinthians. Lord, would you help remind us that Lament is turning upward to you? I pray this in your name, amen. All right, last week, and actually throughout the whole summer, we talked about a definition of Lament. It's on your sheet there, just quick. Turning to the Lord's promises while in pain. Do you remember that? I know you guys love a good quote. So here it is. God invites us into the messy process of wrestling before him in the midst of our sorrows and hardships. We are given the freedom to be in process, to linger with questions and confusions without feeling guilty. I really like that quote because it talks about wrestling. So this is what we do. When Lament, we go to the Lord and we wrestle with who he is and what's true and how it's actually playing out in front of us. And I like it too that we don't have to feel guilty with us struggling with it, feeling like, oh, Lord, I just don't understand. There's no guilt there. Let's review. So I want to go through this morning the three questions of what is lament? It's on your sheet. And then how we lament. And then why? So those three things. So the first one, we just did what? Sorry, we did what? How do we lament? This we talked about last time, that biblical pattern. We turn, remember that? Our hearts turn to the Lord in prayer. They don't turn anywhere else. They turn to the Lord. Two is we complain. We give a reason behind our sorrow. We can go to the Lord with our emotions, our complaints. And third is we ask. We say, God, please change. Help me out. And fourth is trust, expression of trust and praise. We remind ourselves who God is and his promises. That was really helpful because, one, we saw that we could look at the Psalms and we could look for that pattern, 1, 2, 3, 4, and help understand what the psalm is saying. But most importantly, it's a simple pattern for us to follow. Remember that? Those four steps? It's not an easy pattern. It takes time and effort, but it's simple. So that's what and how we lament. All right, new stuff. Here we go. Why we should lament. I got this from a book. It turned into a list here. So the first reason for why we should lament, it is a language for loss. Language for lost. Which is really helpful, because honestly, when we're feeling sorrow and loss, what do I do with it? And lament is the way, is the language behind it that says, here's what I can do with it. Second, it's the solution for silence. You can see the alliteration of the words here. Solution for silence. Like in Hebrews 4, remember this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in lament, when we're in sorrow, it's not silence. We have somewhere to go. We can go to the Lord. Third, it's a category for complaints. Category for complaints. So we don't just complain to the clouds. We don't just complain to our friends. The category for complaints is we go to the Lord. Fourth, it is a framework for feelings. Don't know what to do with your feelings? Don't know what you feel? Lament. Go to the Lord. Wrestle it out with Him. Raw emotions. Framework for feelings. Fifth, it is a process for our pain. A process for our pain. It's really helpful. Leaving those four steps. What's the process? How can I deal with this? And six, it is a way to worship. And that's really helpful, because when we turn to the Lord, we're turning to Him because He is above all things. He's the only one who can answer. That's reminding us that He is God, Father Almighty. And then, man, we can complain because we look at who God is and we say, this isn't right, Lord. Help me understand. I need comfort. And then we ask the Lord to change things, and then we trust Him, we praise Him through it, and that whole process is worship. It's helpful, because honestly, sometimes we think lament is dumb and boring and it should just be over quick. But reminding yourself that it is worship should hopefully give you a different kind of view and vision for it. Someone asked recently, how do I know if lamenting is just too much? I've been in it too long, I've complained too often. When should I stop? When should I tell myself, self, enough is enough, time to move on? I think it's important to remember that lament is this cycle. Those four steps start at 1, 2, 3, 4, and you know what happens the next day? Probably start at 1, and then go through it again. Like we saw in the other Psalms, it was day and night, I cry out to the Lord, right? It was a continual process. So if you're wondering, oh, I should be done, enough is enough. No, I don't think so. Keep going to the Lord. It's helpful too to remember that we are being conformed to the image of Christ, and therefore as we see Jesus lament and live a life of lament and come alongside others who lament, the reality is the more and more you become more like Christ, the more you're going to be lamenting. That's good. Probably grow in it too in more God-honoring ways. I wanted to end not on Psalms, but on 2 Corinthians today. So, reason why is because I think it gives us a different shift, because we've been talking a lot about suffering and lament. And I think 2 Corinthians helps us to say, all right, when we're finally comforted, what's the purpose? What do we do with it? What's the Lord doing in the midst of all that? So, I'm going to read it, then we're going to break up into small groups, and I'll tell you what to look for. So it's on your sheet there, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, with which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So I want you guys to break up into small groups with those around you, and here's the easy question. What stood out to you? Talk about that. There should be painstakingly obvious things that stand out to you. Break. All right. I forgot to mention in the beginning that if you wanted to look at any of the books that have been helpful to me while I've been going through this, there's When Pain is Real and God Seems Silent. It's a great one. Going through Psalm 88 and 89. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. That's a book. Then we have Saints, Sufferers, and Sinners. That's another great one. Really recommend that. And then just in general, Understanding Your Emotions. I know a lot of you have read this one too. That's a great one. 2 Corinthians 1. Here we go. I'm going to ask the first question. What were the repeated words that you saw? You know that was coming, right? So, just one, Bethany.
Comfort.
Pretty obvious, right? Bethany, do you know how many times comfort is there?
I did not count.
That's close. Does anyone know?
Ten.
Good job. 10 times. Woo. Okay, what's another repeated word? Nick.
Affliction or suffering.
Yeah. We'll add those together. Affliction, suffering. And Nick, the question.
I believe it's 6.
I counted 7. I got some head shakes. That's all right, Nick. 7. You got it, though. What else? Another repeated word. Anyone see anything? Faith. Share. That is right. How many times was share repeated?
4.
That's right. Good job. Anything else that you saw that was repeated a lot? Gary.
7 times. We.
You know, I missed that, Gary. You know what? I'm going to add to that, and I'm going to add you. How's that? Which is another 7. Isn't that interesting? That's really the main ones. If you got anything else, it'd probably be 2. All right. That's really helpful. We don't see verses like this that have such highly repeated words in a small amount of text, so that should help us understand something. We'll get back to that. All right, here's a question. In this passage, what is the source of comfort? Tori.
Verse 3, God of all comfort.
That's right. That was pretty clear. Good job. So, think about that for a moment. What's the source of comfort? The source. It's the Heavenly Father. It's the Lord. So that means that in the midst of my suffering and lamenting, it's the Lord who supplies comfort. Certainly may not be right away, but he's the one who, in verse 4, it's guaranteed. He comforts us in our affliction. Another reason this is important. If comfort, the source of comfort is the Lord, it means it doesn't come from you and I. So, if someone around us is suffering, if we want to comfort them, we don't comfort them with whatever we come up with. That's helpful to understand. The Lord is the source of comfort. It's not us. Do you have something, Tori? That's where I was going next. So not only, Tori and I are on the same page here. Not only are you not the source of comfort for others around you who are suffering, you don't generate the comfort yourself if you're suffering. So you don't decide, all right, I've been sad long enough, I need to comfort myself, I'm going to Wawa, right? Although that's often what I do. So, God the Father is the source of comfort, okay? So comfort doesn't start with us, but we're still involved. Yes, Mel.
We have a substitute. We call it comfort food.
Ah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Which is helpful to remember because we call it comfort food, but really it's just an idol. It's anything else that we seek comfort from except from the Lord, right? So comfort doesn't start with us. We don't generate it, but we're still involved. What does it say the purpose of comfort is? Why do we get comfort? Look here. That's right, so we can comfort others. And that comes from verse 4. The comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. That's what we comfort others with. The same comfort. Isn't that helpful? So think of a waterfall. The Lord is the source of the water, the comfort. It pours on me. I don't make up my own water and pour it on someone else. That same water that poured on me is now cascaded to the next person. See that? I appreciate verse 4 too when it says that comforts us in our affliction. See that? So that what? Do you guys see the word? So our affliction. So that we can comfort people in what, Richard? Any affliction. Any affliction. That's really helpful for me because I often shrink away when people are suffering if I haven't suffered that same way. So I'm just making a bunch of stuff. I haven't suffered financially, therefore, why don't you talk to that other person because they've done that. I haven't lost a child. Go talk to the other person. It's not what this says. It says that I have been comforted in my affliction, whatever that might be, and that enables me to comfort others in any affliction. Yes, Bob.
Comfort any, does that include non-Christians?
That's a good question. I think we're to comfort non-Christians for sure, 100%. And I think I would answer that maybe through thinking, what verse is, in verse 5 it says, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. We'll talk about that in a second, but I think it's an opportunity to share the gospel because, you know, when we comfort people, if we comfort them apart from the Lord, apart from the gospel in any way, it's not real comfort. Yeah.
I asked the question for that reason. But I think with a non-Christian, it needs to be, and for each one of us, a sense of empathy, loving empathy, as well as the truth, in order to communicate the gospel.
Yeah. That's true.
I think that keeps us from giving shallow platitudes from the Bible.
Yep.
To others.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, and that's helpful because with the same comfort we've been comforted, we comfort others. In other words, I've not been comforted shallowly and minimally. I've been comforted abundantly. So therefore, I can do that with others. Ethan, were you going to share something? Okay. Where am I? Okay. So, we don't shrink away. This should help us give us a vision for comfort that we can move towards anyone in any situation. Remember those repeated words here? I think this is helpful for the main point. We can make a main point out of this, right? So, I have a great sentence here. It is the comfort you receive from suffering you share. The comfort that you receive from suffering and affliction, you share. That's pretty clear, main point, right? We see all those repeated words, it gives us the main point. So remember I told you that my temptation in the beginning is that when sorrow and suffering comes in my life, I like to turn inward. Lament tells you to turn upward. And then as the Lord comforts you, while you're lamenting, you're to turn outward. Not inward, go upward, and the Lord tells you to go outward then in that comfort. I think that's kind of the point of 2 Corinthians here. And that gives us a vision for moving towards people who are hurting. There's one last quote. It's not on your sheet. What is true for Jesus is true for us. Affliction and comfort always travel as a pair. Our union with Christ in his suffering and comfort provides the living leverage so that our own sufferings can move us in an outward and others-oriented direction. We are partners with Christ in his suffering and comfort. This reality enables, motivates, and empowers us to be partners with others in their suffering. It's a great quote. Gives us a good vision for what we do as we get comfort from the Lord. We are going to do one last thing this morning. I know there's a lot to talk about in 2 Corinthians. You can talk about more in your small group if you want. But I want you to break back up into your small groups and go over these three things at the bottom here. So one, how has your understanding and appreciation of lament and suffering changed over the past few months? What have you learned in Lamentations, Psalms, or 2 Corinthians that has been impactful, and how will you put that into practice? And then third, pray for one another. Take your time as you go through those questions. All right, break.